Welcome to Nourish and Align with Candace Nichols, the podcast for women over 40, where we empower and educate you to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Each week, we'll dive into topics like nutrition, somatic movement, healing trauma, and embracing your fuller self. Join me and our inspiring guest speakers as we explore the important journey of perimenopause and beyond. It's time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and walk in your true alignment. So, hi again, everyone. My guest today is Cindy Mano. She's a social worker for the past 11 years. In the last 8 years, she spent specifically in the mental health industry, working for a mental health organization based here in Cape Town, South Africa. So, welcome, Cindy, to the podcast. We focus on women's health, especially women over 40, and we speak about different topics, but specifically related to the perimenopause journey. And something we've noticed, and you've probably noticed, is that anxiety and stress goes up, or stress resilience goes up after 40. And more women are reporting like increased anxiety or even panic attacks that they never had before. So I brought you on not just for advice around what to do about that, but just your experience as a woman over 40, and then also like what you've seen in practice. So just for also for reference is that I also know you for a long time. We've been friends for a long time. And we share similar journeys. So just so everyone knows, you're not a complete stranger to me. But I'm going to hand over to you now to discuss your experience and what your thoughts are around it. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. And thank you for having me on your podcast. Being over 40, it obviously... you start noticing changes in your own body. You start noticing your own emotions changing. And then obviously I've been working with women who are over 40. It's not that there are more of them. I've always noticed, you know, even when I was younger in the field, that they are older women who are actually coming in for counseling. And I always wondered why, you know, why are they coming in for counseling now? Is there anything specific happening? Is it because they didn't work through their problems or whatever the case may be? And I thought, no, maybe it just happens to some women. Until obviously I turned 40 and in my 40s, and then I realized, you know, that there are definitely changes happening in your body, in the way you handle things, your own emotions as well. And it started making sense as to why I'm obviously seeing women over 40 with these changes. And I even, you know, even if you watch like a YouTube or TikTok, you'll see some women over there in their 40s acting a certain way. And people, you know, people actually call them Karens and all kinds of things.
Yes,
but
yes.
If you actually put it together, you'll maybe notice that they are in that transitioning time in their life. And maybe, you know, they almost are fluctuating. Maybe they are experiencing changes, you know, emotionally. So maybe that's the reason why you see these women, and they'll say middle-aged woman, you know, middle-aged Karen, doing this and that and screaming in the shop and doing all kinds of things. But maybe it kind of makes sense if you actually think about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I'm ready to be a Karen, but I mean, I agree with you that if you have a level of self-awareness, you start to pick up that there's definitely something off. Like I know for you it might be different, but for me, I have decreased stress resilience. And I think you knowing me from back in the day as well, I'm very organized and on top of it and in control. And I can, you know, I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna do it like this. And I wouldn't have even thought I had anxiety. And so that was for me a big thing. That was new onset. Like, I'm not able to manage the feeling of overwhelm that I could maybe manage before, and that resilience to certain stresses has gone down. And then I was reading an article the other day called the panic dis PPD, perimenopausal panic disorder, and honestly, it was a bit scary, but at the same time, it felt very. I was relieved because part of you thinks you're going nuts. I mean, a part of my brain thought, do I have a tumor? am I having a complete nervous breakdown? And I think just having a conversation so women can feel, oh, this is not something wacky happening to me. This stage of life now, it makes sense. And I spoke to another female, and she's like, she couldn't understand why she was struggling with her mental health and anxiety all of a sudden, Edita. And then when we had a conversation, it's like, I just feel relieved knowing it's not in my head. And I think a lot of women don't realize, and they think they make it seem like like there's something wrong with them because no one's listening to them. But besides that, okay, now we know it's a thing. You know, there's various factors. We know it's not just our hormones. We know the neurotransmitters in our brain are not firing as well. We know it's got these gut links and everything. What is your first point like? For advice for women who are in this transition and they're having these emotions, like what is your advice or how does your counseling strategy start? Even for yourself, if you think about how you approach it for you, what is working, what's not working, what should women be doing?
Okay. Well, I'll start with myself first. I obviously knew that something was happening. You know, I could feel the changes. I could feel the anxiety. I could feel the rage. I could feel the sometimes feelings of sadness. And for a while, I also thought, oh, what is going on with me, because I work in this field and I know what these symptoms are. And I actually went to the doctor. I went, I started looking around. I started doing research for myself. I did speak to other people and other women, older women, and I think they kind of pointed me in the right direction, because it's something that they've also experienced. But it's not something that they were very open about or very, but almost like they're not really open to discuss all the symptoms and what they're going through. But they will kind of say, oh, maybe you in the stage of life or change of life or
Change of
things like
life, yeah.
that. But they never really go into it until I started doing my own research. And then I started realizing, I am in that stage of life. Advice that I would give to obviously to other women is, it is difficult because not a lot of people really talk about it. Nobody says anything to you. Nobody really prepares you for it. Unless you start doing your own research. Luckily, obviously nowadays these obviously the internet is available. There are people available who are actually experts in the field, and you can actually do the research and actually prepare yourself. I think preparing yourself is probably the biggest thing that is going to assist you. So preparing yourself could mean yes, when you are going through it, you will obviously have different emotional changes. But what you need to, and obviously some of your past experiences will come out
Surface.
as well. Yeah, it will surface. You will start feeling all those emotions. So doing that kind of work and actually working on your own emotions, working on, your past childhood experiences, that actually it does help. It does help to prepare you, so that when these emotions do surface later on, you will actually be able to tell that it's not related. It's not actually related to something in your past. But if you didn't
Process.
work through that and process it, then obviously it will surface together. which is obviously the biggest issue.
Yes, I think that brings me to my second point is that this stage of life coincides with I don't know if you're familiar with Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score, but anytime over 30, 40, whatever you haven't processed or worked through will start to show up in your body. So they can also explain, besides menopause and besides the changes menopause brings, whatever emotions that have basically been pushed down and suppressed has a way of resurfacing, but it's felt in the body. You know, like you have unexplained gut issues all of a sudden, or unexplained back pain, or and his work discusses how the body keeps the score of suppressed maybe things that you haven't processed. So I think it's ironic that at the same time we as women are going through this change, those are similar things. So it makes complete sense how these two things coincide now in the stage of life. If there's a
Yeah.
physiological reason why you're experiencing mood swings, you because of the stage, but then there are also these little things that now you're ready to process. And I think that's what women are faced with. It's like all of a sudden you are, and I think that's why many divorces happen in 40, you know? Like
Yes.
it's not just the mental load and the hormones. It's all of a sudden you are questioning everything. You are
Yes.
rethinking decisions. You are wondering why you married this man. And I see a lot of partnerships end as well. And for some reasons they're good, like maybe you were had blinders on your whole marriage and you actually married a complete, you know, not a nice person. And then on the other hand, you just need tools to manage the stage. Basically, you need tools. And I think this is so why I started this podcast and what I'm doing is because I wasn't prepared and no one, our mothers don't talk about it.
Yeah.
They don't. And so just to be prepared, which I think is, I love what you said, is prepare yourself and know what's happening so that you can do the things. Okay, but now let's come back to management. Now we know this is a thing. And women are willing to process, and you accepting this is what's happening. What are the things that they can do to survive? Just not, I don't want to say survive, but to thrive, to grow through the process. You know, like not to panic. What are the tips and tools you have that you give women who are now coming to you with all these things?
It's basically the same, okay? The basically the same tips, the same coping skills, the same coping skills for anxiety, for depression. It is basically the same things that we would use. So basically, like what you said earlier, you know, when you have those coping skills in place, right? So now, just as an example, I will feel maybe anxious about something because or I didn't sleep well, right? Or I'm feeling rage for no apparent reason, angry at somebody for no reason whatsoever, because I have the tools. So my tools would be, I know that it's so basically it depends on what the emotion is that you're going through. So for each one, say it's anxiety, there's tools to help you to relax. Obviously, the mindfulness, grounding techniques, they are all available for you to learn to how to calm yourself down, you know. Similar would be your feelings of rage. You will realize because you are self-aware and because you are in this process of learning maybe coping skills or going through the process of managing your past and your emotions. If you know you're experiencing rage, just like any other emotion, you know that you have to have the coping skills to calm yourself as well. You first become self-aware, you know that you know that this is rage, you are feeling angry. You are aware that you are angry, so what do you do now? You have to relax. You have to use the coping skills. So whichever one is is the one that you use. Do you use mindfulness? Because this should be, I think, later on in life. Because if you have those coping skills, it should be part of your life eventually. So if you use mindfulness, if you use meditation, if you use grounding techniques, then you know, okay, this is something that works for me. If you can't sleep at night, and you know, if you put on meditation, you know, the YouTube meditations, you put on your sometimes I even use those little, what is it, what do they call it, binaural beats, you know, just to calm myself down. If you know, obviously there's various coping skills, there's various self-help skills, you know. If you know that it worked for you before in the past, then it's something that you have to incorporate in your life on a regular basis.
I will say what's working for me. I have now. I'm very good with now. I'm good with being self-aware. Now I notice when things are starting to go sideways. You know, like if I don't do something now, I'm going to spiral. Yeah. So, and also I've developed certain habits now that I set in place. So the things that help me when I'm in a moment where I am feel like I'm spiraling is definitely the grounding, man. I will rub, and sometimes the neighbors must think I'm crazy because I've got those rough walls, you know, on in and sometimes to calm me down, just touching and rubbing the wall, that sensation and feeling it will calm me down. We're like, I'm feeling this, I'm calm. It's grounding basically.
Yes,
But I'm
you're
sometimes,
present
yeah, I'm laughing because the
in
neighbors
the
must think, why
moment.
is this woman rubbing the wall all the time? I look like a crazy person. But it helps, you know, and the breathing, the box breathing,
Yes, breathing well.
and what I've been trying to do, and I haven't gotten back to do every day, is I go outside and I try in the morning, in that brief moment when my child's off to school, I still have 20 minutes before I have to go to work. I stand in the sun and I get some natural light, natural sunshine, because my research has shown that natural light from the sun, having being bare feet on the grass or the sand, sends ions, electron ions up into your body that supercharge some of your cells and develop, create energy, which is a positive thing and can help. And I do listen to guided meditations, which I also find very helpful on YouTube, like the ones that guide you through certain things. And because there are times I wake up in the night and there's no rhyme or reason. I wake up in the night and I'm like, and I feel overwhelmed all of a sudden. Then I put on those binaural beats, or I put on some meditation music, and then I breathe. And then I'm rubbing something, and I'm like, what the hell is happening to me?
Breathing and rubbing something at
Like, you know,
the
and
same
like your partner, and like they were, I think my husband was like, what is happening to my wife? You know, she's gone. Betty, I haven't experienced that. For me, the big things have been the anxiety and the panic attacks. They are, because I've now developed these coping mechanisms, I know what they are, and I'm doing my own research. I've sort of calmed down quite a lot because I've also, in that article on PPDs, panic disorder, they were speaking specifically about probiotics and the gut microbiome, that if you eat enough fiber-rich foods and probiotic-rich foods, and there's specific microbes that boost GABA, dopamine, and serotonin naturally. So that gut-brain axis is a real thing, you know, like, and that's why I think I call this podcast Nourish and Align. We need to stop looking at things in isolation. My mind isn't separate from my gut. My emotions aren't separate from my body. And I want to create a holistic space. So I fully get it. I know my coping stuff now. And I
It's also
think,
exercise, of course.
yes, of
The
course, yes.
exercise part, you can't forget about that. Exercise.
When you aren't tired enough, you know, when you aren't exhausted, that you can go for a walk. But no, agreed, agreed. I th exercise is right. Walking is great for me. I love
Walking.
being, yeah, nature.
All those wonderful stretching exercises on YouTube as well. You actually lay down on one little spot and then you move. And you isolate one section of your body, maybe your shoulders, maybe your back. So it's not really strenuous exercises, but it helps you to release certain parts of your body, and certain maybe your shoulders, where you feel a lot of tension. And that I found to be really, really good. It's a really calming, and it helps you to isolate certain parts of your body. Like you mentioned, it can obviously be stuck in your body somewhere, and it just helps you to release and relax certain areas. And then after a session like that, it's maybe even only 5 minutes, then you calm down after that. And your body is able to release certain parts of that stress, anxiety that you feel.
Yeah, they call it somatic therapy, I think.
Yes, I think
Yeah,
so.
I'm having a somatic therapist come on in June. We will discuss that because I actually, I bought a course specifically focused on tension in the somatic therapy for tension in the hips and back and pelvic area because that's where I was carrying it. And she only does these 5 to 10 minute videos, and you must do it like every day or when you can. And
Every
it's
day.
low intensity, and it's these simple movements that you start to do to release whatever tension is there, and it really does help. So I'm excited when the somatic therapist comes on. She's only available in June, but I'm looking forward to having her on. But yeah, so I get it. I agree 100%. And then before we end also, some women need medication. Can you talk about some of the meds that are helpful? I mean, medication is sometimes for me personally, it's one of the last things I want to do because I'm wary about changing my brain chemistry or having to wean myself off later, etc. But I know it's necessary in some women. Can you talk about the common meds and what they can prepare for if they do have to go on meds?
So yes, for some people it is necessary to go on an antidepressant. So it can be difficult, but I don't think that they are always explained why they need to go on the medication, and that is what makes it difficult. And they also don't realize that it can be a short term remedy, whatever you're going through for the time being. So for some women, yes, definitely, you can go on the medications. They are quite a different. With these types of medications, there is not a one size fit all medication. No, so there is quite a long list of different medications that people go on. It is prescribed by the psychiatrist. Just to lessen the yeah, just to lessen those symptoms that you're going through. But it is also important to note when you are requesting for medications, or if the doctor does suggest a medication, that you do explain that you don't want anything that is addictive. Okay. You don't want anything that's addictive. So there are a few. The L there they are. The L the ones that ends with the ZAM, the
Your
Alzams,
diazepams and stuff like that.
diazepams, yes, the benzodiazepines, there we go. They are the ones that's usually quite addictive. It's not something that you should use long term. If you are using it, it must be short term.
That
A
would be
lot
like
of the
your
doctors,
Urbanol, because Urbanol gets
Urbanols,
prescribed.
yes, all the benzos, they are prescribed by doctors, but that is where obviously you have the right to explain to the doctor. Even in our field, we do explain that there is some medications that is addictive. You have the right to explain to your doctor that you don't want to be on anything that's addictive. So they'll put you over to maybe a citalopram, fluoxetine, those types of medications. Those ones will obviously help with the symptoms of depression. Yeah, just be careful when you are. When the doctor does prescribe the medications, that you make sure that it's not addictive and that it's maybe a short-term medication. Once you are on those medications, it is really difficult to wean off, and you will have symptoms when you are being weaned off the medication. And unfortunately, a lot of people do become addicted to those
Dependent sort
medications.
of in on them.
Yeah, they are completely dependent. So dependent even to a point where they are actually addicted and they can't even
off of
wean
it.
themselves off the medication.
Yeah, I've seen some people take the medication with not knowing really, and they're mixing different medication, and then it has altered their personality completely because it does change some of your brain chemistry, and I think that is very really scary. But I think what is most important for me from this episode is that women are empowered. I think the first thing is you know that this is not in your head, and what you're experiencing is valid and real. The second thing is prepping, like you said, be prepared. This is why and what's going on. And then for me, like my point of call is first getting labs done, first checking what's happening in my body, speaking to my GP. If the final result is okay, I might do best getting medication, is to have an in-depth discussion with what meds you are getting, what are the possible side effects, are there alternatives, and to have a very open discussion with your health professional. And then someone like you, as a social worker, you do counseling a lot. I mean, you don't prescribe medication, but you are the one on the front lines doing a lot of the counseling, seeing people. And shouldn't that also be a point of call? The more women should just be okay with going and speaking to someone, because sometimes you just need that human interaction. You need someone who's listening to you, which a lot of GPs or specialists don't do. They don't take the time to listen.
Yeah, no, definitely. We do, because you are going through this stage and you are experiencing all these emotions, and it's sometimes difficult because you maybe didn't, process anything in your past or very little, and now you get to the stage and you are completely overwhelmed by everything, the GPs, they are good, but obviously they are limited in what they can do for you. And it would be probably for the best if you did seek some type of counseling, because obviously your GPs and even the people around you, parents, they're not maybe that open to speaking to you about anything. So even if you go to your counselor just to do the process, go through your past, yes, it is really important, to process your past. It's very important so that you
Agreed.
don't feel as overwhelmed as you. But by the time you get to this stage, it is basically what it is. It is the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. And yes, sometimes it will bring up a few things of the past, but if you have the coping skills and you know how to work through those things, then it becomes easier and you are less overwhelmed. So definitely speaking to a professional to guide you through it, will make it easier.
Yeah, thank you. I think we can sort of taper off and end off now. So we've given nice steps, and I completely agree. It that human connection and that value of getting some, especially if you don't have tools. Like we spoke about a lot about tools, and some women don't have any tools. They don't even know what the tools are. And then I think it is important to then speak to a counselor, someone like you, someone in like the field, and who's knowledgeable and can give you the tools. There are also like so many apps that you can download now for this, anxiety apps and breathwork apps and mindfulness apps. And I think journaling, meditation, there are so many of that. Those are the tools that you need. And then obviously if you need to go on medication, that's another discussion you should have more information on with your specialist, etc. So agreed. And I think something that's helped me a lot as well, Cindy, and we can end off with this, is the social factor. Having friends, going out, having fun. I think it makes a huge difference. I think and I think that's the value of community, having relationships, has helped me tremendously for me as well. I don't know if you how you find.
No, definitely. So for some of us, we become a little bit more, I think, isolated. Yeah, isolated is the word. Because of how we're feeling, because of what the transitioning stage. And sometimes you're angry and sometimes you're sad and you're not really sure what you're
What's
feeling.
your feeling?
So, yeah, so isolating is not always a good idea, basically, because now you're sitting with these feelings and these emotions all by yourself. You are alone, you know. So being more social, trying to be more social is probably a good idea. And just, you know, expanding your social field, your social networks. But before we end, I actually did some research myself, and I look at different cultures, and menopause, which I found very interesting.
That is interesting.
So in different cultures, you'll see Japanese, Chinese, all different cultures, some of them have an explanation, and terms for menopause and perimenopause as well. So the one that I found most interesting was that in Chinese traditional medicine, they actually refer to it as the second spring.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Wow. Yes,
That's
exactly.
beautiful. The second spring.
Yes, and it symbolizes a time of renewal and rebirth.
Amen.
Yes, so if you actually read up about it, you'll find that it actually gives you so much more insight into menopause, and that there are actual cultures, different cultures, who actually prepare women and actually
That's amazing.
celebrate
This
this time in their
transition.
life.
That's
And they
beautiful.
obviously prepare, like you said earlier, with all the different tools, the mental health tools, the food that they eat, the exercises that they do, you know, they prepare to go into this stage. And it symbolizes wisdom, you know. It's not just like what we're experiencing, that you're losing something, that they're actually gaining
Yeah, I
something.
love that. I love that. I think that's the beauty. We are reframing what this should be in our context. And it starts with you and me and with all of us who, collectively start speaking and sharing and making this transition a second spring for women.
It's
So,
definitely a second spring, and you'll see in the different cultures they call it different names, you know, and it signifies the change, the opportunities for personal growth, you know, and obviously all the preparation that goes into that, you know.
Yes,
It doesn't
yes.
just happen like with us, where it just happens and then, oh, you find
Ooh,
yourself
you
just
must
in
not
this
deal on
different.
your own now. Yeah.
So in all these cultures, you'll see it's actually such a beautiful thing, you know, and they celebrate it amongst
Yeah.
each other
I
that you
love
are going
that.
into this stage, you know. And it's a sec the second time, because obviously the first time when you were a teenager, and this is
Yes,
the second
good
time where
time.
there's a change, you know, but it's a change into something new, you know,
I
something,
better,
you see,
beautiful
yeah, something
growth.
better.
I like that. Okay, so we are running out of time. So I'm gonna end off with that. And I think if our listeners want to go and research that as well, and I think that is beautiful. And I think we have to create a community around that year as well, where we prepare each other, we support each other, and we celebrate this new spring.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy, for joining us.
Thank you, Candice.